Can you remain a Christian if you stay away from church on Sunday mornings? I've written a column in the latest issues, etc. journal titled, Why Do You Go to Church? We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Dr. Mark Seyfried writes about his journey from being a Baptist seminary professor to becoming a Lutheran seminary professor. It's the free online Issues, etc. journal, issuesetc.org.
This is particularly true for the media. If they genuinely believe what they claimed they believed about the seriousness and credibility of these allegations, the fact that he made it onto the Supreme Court should cause even more investigation, even more coverage, that instead they dropped it.
Martin Luther often said that if the church ever were to lose the biblical languages, the church would lose the gospel.
It's very difficult for me to explain what it meant to me to consider that I am pleasing to God not because of who I am, but because of the righteousness of Christ.
On-demand listeners of Issues Etc. love hearing sound theology while walking the dog.
There is undoubtedly a crisis in education in the United States. Some people think the crisis is simply one of dollars and cents. We haven't spent enough on the students in our classrooms. But others have noticed that the crisis may be far more profound than simply what we spend or even what we're teaching our children. What we teach them is very important. How we teach them that is also equally important. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. coming to you live this Friday afternoon, November the 9th. From the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference at Faith Lutheran Church in Plano, Texas, I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be talking classical Lutheran education with Pastor Stephen Kieser here in the first half hour of the program. A little bit later, Pastor Chris Roseborough will join us of Fighting for the Faith. We'll talk about the past, present, and future of American evangelicalism. Feel free to join us. Even though we are remote, you can still email us at talkback@issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet at Issues ETC, or for those of us here at the conference, you can use the audience mic for a question or a comment. Just walk up and Jeff will tell you what to do and what to say. That the email address is talkback@issuesetc.org, our Twitter address at Issues ETC. Joining us to talk about classical Lutheran education, Pastor Stephen Kieser. He's headmaster of Faith Lutheran School in Plano, Texas, and he's a board chairman for the Consortium for Classical Lutheran Education. Stephen, welcome back to Issues Etc. Good to be here. Well, regular guest Rod Dreher, and was a speaker at our last Issues Etc. Making the Case conference, he recently wrote this. He said, think about that conservative and Christian philanthropists. If you want the faith and the Western canon to survive, start giving and giving generously to classical Christian schools. You may think that your college alma mater is holding the line on this front, but you are probably wrong. Based on what I am told, ideological totalitarianism is in many places doing to the humanities what it did to them under communism. What's the problem that Dreher is addressing there as far as you're concerned, Pastor Kieser?
Well, I think Dreher, at least on this point here, is right on. First of all, I hope everyone takes his advice and gives generously to classical Lutheran education. secondly, I think that what he's seeing is really what a lot of people are seeing, and that is that what's going on in our schools today simply is not serving our children. Serving our children in such a way that they are educated in such a way that they are members of society, that they are being raised to be mothers and fathers, that they are equipped to serve as citizens in the United States of America, citizens in the church, you know, churchmen as well. And so we're seeing a generation that at times don't really know who they are, what their purpose is. And I think he sees the education itself, the education industry, if you want to call it that, as a major contributor to that problem.
He mentions the faith and the Western canon You need to kind of unpack that. I mean, I think we know what he's talking about in general, the Christian faith, but why does he connect it? Why do so many who are advocates for classical education connect it with the Western canon? What is that, the Western canon?
Well, I think that what he's talking about there is, in particular, the great books of the Western civilization, the things that that men wrote that were clear about what it means to be a human being, what a human being's purpose is, and when we integrate the faith into that, of course, the faith teaches us exactly what it is. I mean, obviously, the scriptures teach us, even apart from a secular idea of what it means to be a human being, have a body, have a soul, what it means to be a sinner, what it means to be a Christian. And so these things also must include the faith as we understand what it means to be a human being. And I think even while some of the pagans didn't get it all right when it came to what it means to be a human being, they were clear and articulate thinkers. They wrote beautifully, and they helped us understand the human condition. For those reasons, I think it's good for us to go back and understand where we are historically. Classical education doesn't throw out history as if we've evolved from that and now we're something better, but rather embraces history. Old things are still good for us. Not every old thing, but Western civilization has given much, even to our own nation, as we look around and see the blessings that we have received from Western society. And so as we look at the things that contributed to that, we want to teach our children about those kinds of things.
We're going to talk about classical Lutheran education, but let's deal with a few definitions, beginning with that word Lutheran. What do we mean when we say Lutheran education?
Well, for us Lutherans, of course, it is the Word of God and the confessions of the Church. Those things are brought along with us into the classroom. So it isn't that church is one thing and that the classroom education is another, but rather who we are, what we confess based upon the scriptures, according to our Lutheran confessions, are brought with us into the classroom. The way children are best taught those things are to use the ad fontes, the sources, to use the scriptures themselves, of course, to use the hymnal. Hymnal is very important, I think, in Christian education, Lutheran education. And most importantly, the catechism, Luther's small catechism, and learning the catechism word for word, what it says, said and still says today. And so those come together. For instance, here at Faith Lutheran School, each day we gather and we sing a hymn and we share the scriptures together. We recite a portion of Luther's small catechism. We are 12 weeks into school. We've finished the Ten Commandments. We've done the close of the commandments, and this week we're starting the first article. So those become primary and foundational to us as Lutherans. And by the way, it serves all of Christianity. Our school is an admixture of individuals who are Missouri Synod Lutherans, but also those who come from other Christian denominations, and maybe some of those who are unchurched. And regardless of who they are, these tools, the scriptures, the catechism, the hymnal, are good for all of us. And so all of us do these things together here at our school.
When we talk about Lutheran theology in the classroom, are we just talking about a Lutheran theology class, just a doctrine class that may be part of a larger curriculum? Is it more extensive than that?
Well, it's a both and. So we do have courses where we especially focus on studying the Old Testament, studying the New Testament, studying theology. We also, in our upper grades, high school, even study the history of the church, which is a forgotten thing. Maybe we study some of the doctrines, but we certainly don't study the history of the church in history class. But those things then have to make their way into the classroom. And I believe the best way that does that is through our teachers. We have to have Lutheran teachers in our schools, teachers who hold these confessions as their own, that they believe what our Lutheran confessions are, that they know the scriptures, that they are familiar with the hymns of the church. And so in this way, I can be teaching math class or science class, or I can be teaching a literature class, even a pagan author. And the Lutheran faith then is brought into the classroom, and it's incorporated foundationally into what it is that we teach in every one of our subject areas.
I think one insight that, and I don't remember who it was, I was talking to someone about classical Lutheran education, and they made the point that we should not view it as trying to integrate the faith into a subject, but to recognize that for Christians living in this world, the citizens of both God's kingdom and the kingdoms of this world, our faith is already integrated into these subjects. We approach these subjects not as just naked subjects, but as Christians who are learning this for the sake of learning God's truth in the world. What do you think about that?
Well, I think that is true. For instance, I'm teaching algebra this year.
Good for
and,
you.
we're struggling through learning how to graph lines in various ways right now. And so not every lesson begins with, well, a scripture verse or something like that. But nevertheless, the order that God has established in the world is an order that is given by God. The reason math works is because God is an orderly God. So these kinds of references can be made in the class and through the class, even in a math class.
We're talking about classical Lutheran education. Pastor Stephen Kaiser is our guest. We are broadcasting for the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference at Faith Lutheran Church in Plano, Texas. Feel free to join us with questions or comments. Talk back at issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet at issuesetc. And I remind our conference attendees, we have an audience mic as well. Pastor Stephen Kaiser is headmaster of Faith Lutheran Church in Plano, Texas, and board chairman for the Consortium for Classical Lutheran Education.
What are some of the most misunderstood and confused aspects of Christianity, and how can we respond? Clearly Christian, Following Jesus in This Age of Confusion, is the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for November. Clearly Christian is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or you can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month, Clearly Christian.
Looking for a foreign language program that will revolutionize your students' vocabulary knowledge and their understanding of grammar? How about a program that teaches critical thinking skills, too? Look no further than Memoria Press's Latin curriculum. Students of all ages can use these Latin study programs. Give your students the gift of Latin today. To order, visit memoriapress.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR9. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, you're listening to Issues Etc.
We Lutherans were never aided by following along with some other tradition's theological priorities and catchphrases.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Pastor Heath Curtis, coordinator for stewardship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod on a Lutheran approach to stewardship.
Other folks are not approaching it from our good, solid Lutheran understanding of law and gospel and vocation. There's a place to talk about this in Christianity, and we have a way of talking about stewardship as Lutherans without ever using the word stewardship, if you like. I'm going to talk to you today about your vocation in your home, in your church, in your society, and how each one of these makes a claim on you, on your presence, on your support, on your prayers. That's how we should talk about this as Lutherans.
You'll find several stewardship resources at lcms.org/stewardship. lcms.org/stewardship.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're coming to you live from the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference at Faith Lutheran Church in Plano, Texas on this Friday afternoon, talking classical Lutheran education with Pastor Stephen Keyser. Pastor Keyser, let's talk about the definition of the classical in classical Lutheran education. This requires a little more explanation, doesn't it?
Yes. The way we have talked about classical Lutheran education is an education that uses the old liberal arts, the seven liberal arts, along with Lutheran catechesis. And what we mean by the seven liberal arts is, can be broken down into maybe two smaller categories: the language arts, the arts of grammar, logic or dialectic, and rhetoric, but also the arts of math and science, what we sometimes call the quadrivium, the four other arts: arithmetic, music, geometry, and astronomy. And so the seven liberal arts, along with Lutheran catechesis, is what comprises the term classical Lutheran education. The goal is to, of course, raise up the baptized and virtuous education. We think a good way to raise children, to teach children, are to set before them, we talked about the Western canon earlier, but those things that are good, those things that are true, those things are beautiful. Think on those things. And so those are the tenets, I guess we might say, in a nutshell, of a classical Lutheran education.
What is fundamentally different, other than that structure to it? What's fundamentally different from classical education from what sadly sometimes passes for education today?
Yeah, I think when you talk fundamentally, we can ask the question, well, what does it mean to be a human being? And how ought that person, what ought a human being, how ought a human being to be educated? The modern education, sometimes called a proficiency-based education, or an education that is a constructivist education.
What does that mean?
It borrows from Jean Piaget. It's this idea that has been morphed today to mean that children really decide for themselves, that they are capable of choosing those things that are good for them. It's a smorgasbord education where you lay before them many choices and you say, okay, here are the choices, here are the meat and potatoes, you know, here's math and science and literature, but you know, here are some other things as well. Here's ice cream and candy. Well, pick what you think might be useful for you and pursue that. Think about that. Spend today doing that. So it's sort of the education is laid before them. The child gets to choose. It's child-based, child-centered education. The liberal arts education is different in this way. It says that here are these seven good arts. They're good for you. You need these things. These are the things you ought to chew on. These are the things you ought to think about. And so rather than choosing those things, we deliver those things. We decide what sorts of things are good for them and teach them that way.
And I want you to emphasize this, if you would. They're taught not as means to an end, although they certainly can be means to an end. But these are goods in and of themselves. It is good to know how to think. That's a good thing.
Yes.
Not just because it's useful in life. It's good to simply have that. Talk about that, if you would.
Yes. And, well, we've just suffered through, another election time. And we hear all kinds of things being said out there. Well, what are they saying? Are the things true? Are they false? What is their argument? Does the argument really make any sense? Well, we have to know how to think, don't we? We have to know how to think about what someone says so that we can decide whether or not what they're saying is true, whether it is really and truly good for us or not. And so, absolutely, logic is very important, but also being able to speak and write well. And I think a good way to go about, especially the language arts, is to model people who do a good job. And we have thousands of years of history of people that have been writing in different contexts, even in different ways, that have done an excellent job. We don't have to make it up for ourselves somehow today that we have a blank sheet of paper and say, well, what do I think I should write today? But rather, we can look and see what many, 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 a host of people have written, and even imitate them. So imitation is very important. And learn how to write as they wrote, and learn how to, even as they thought through problems in their day, how did they think through those problems? Well, how can I think through my problems today in a similar way? And so it becomes a paradigm that has been used in the past that can be learned now and applied even to new and unique situations. So it isn't necessarily what we might call simply repristination, a cut from the past and a paste into the future, but rather learning that paradigm and applying it today.
You had mentioned history. How is a classical education's approach to history different from that in progressive education today?
Well, one of the important things that a classical education provides is access to as close of an original source as we can get. So, for example, a typical textbook on the U.S. Constitution may provide a summary of the Constitution. It may provide some quotes of the Constitution, but it tells you what the team of authors thought about the Constitution, or what this team of authors thinks the Constitution is saying. What we would do rather than that is give them the Constitution. Let's read the Constitution.
Back to the source.
Back to the source. At Faith Lutheran School, we host a Constitution Day, so we have a public reading of the Constitution for the entire school. But that same principle can be applied over and over again in different circumstances. One of the things we're looking at here in Texas, we are asked to teach Texas history. And the only textbooks that we have, all that we have are textbooks. We don't have a lot of original sources, and certainly nothing on Lutheran history in the state of Texas. So recently I reached out to one of our oldest congregations in Serban, Texas, and I said, do you have any histories of your congregation? Yes, we have a history. So for $12, I purchased the history. We're taking a look at it, received it earlier this week, passed along to a teacher today and said, hey, how can we talk about immigration in the state of Texas and include the Lutherans in that discussion?
All those immigrants, yeah.
All those immigrants, right, who would not be mentioned at all, for instance, in a textbook.
So I get a sense that the general view of a classical approach to the past, if not to history in particular, is respect. We do not believe, we do not have this kind of historical chauvinism that believes that people of the past were unenlightened, were darkened in their thinking, or too primitive to understand what we understand today.
Yeah, I think that one way I've thought about the way we look at history is through an evolutionary approach. You know, each age has gotten somehow or another better than the previous age. And so since we've gotten better, we no longer have use of things that have happened in the past, because it's done. It's vestigial. It's gone. And we're better than that now, is what people think, which is simply not true. We can study and look at how people lived and how they confronted problems, how they celebrated joys, how the church worshiped throughout the ages. And we can learn from those things, absolutely, while at the same time adding our own statement to history, adding our own unique understanding of the past, presenting it today in a present-day fashion.
Why is Latin so often, sometimes always, included in a classical model of education, the teaching of that language?
Well, some of the good writings that that we have before us were written in Latin. Okay, they were written in other languages too, but written in Latin. We all know that translation is interpretation. We have that with the scriptures, right? So a translation of the scriptures is someone's interpretation in part of how they wish to view the scriptures. This is true with other writings as well. And so if children have access to the languages, the original languages, not only do they have access to the document, but they have access to the language itself, to the culture in which it existed. So they have full access to that source. If they also know the language. So in part, that would be one good reason. I think there are other pragmatic reasons why people like to learn Latin. I think it helps you on your SAT, ACT tests, and so forth and so on, and helps build vocabulary and those kinds of things. But I think having that full access to the sources is also invaluable.
I don't think I was able to really think until I was forced to take Latin. Because what Latin forced me to do, I kind of got there a little bit when I was required to take Greek in preparation for the seminary, but I was in so far over my head with the grammar that I didn't realize what I was getting at the time. Then later, in my latter seminary years, I was required to take Latin. And the grammar suddenly came clear. And then I realized, this is how I'm supposed to think. The structure of this language is how thoughts get put together in a coherent fashion. And it cleared my mind. Do you find that happening?
Yes. In other words, the language itself, the way it is learned, in other words, what you're saying is also helpful to learning itself, that in learning a language such as Latin, it aids in learning in general. And I would say this is also true, for instance, with Luther's Small Catechism. You have the commandment, for instance, and then you have the what does it mean? You know, you have the understanding of that, the logic of that. So I think that if our schools and our congregations would simply use the catechism as it's laid out, they would find themselves in the midst of a classical education, right? They would, in teaching that way, they would be experiencing that.
We have a question here from the audience.
Yes. Paul from Boston, Massachusetts. So I work at one of the fine institutions that is in Boston, and we often see students coming in that are woefully underprepared for undergraduate courses at the universities that we see there. So how do you see that classical Lutheran education can help with students getting to the college level, but also dealing with a kind of terrible college environment that currently exists out there, which we are all well aware of in terms of the liberalism that kind of exists there?
Thanks, Paul.
That's a great question. Recently, by the way, from Concordia University Chicago, a webinar was held on the effects of classical education that's happening in our grade schools and our high schools, the effects of that on higher education. And the topic was led by Eric Cook. Tom Korchak from from CUC was there. What they had to say, and I have to agree with them, is that colleges and universities are encountering our graduates. They're asking themselves, what are we going to do with these students? What are we going to do with them? And one of the things that we're seeing is that the colleges and the universities are making adjustments to their curriculum for the students that they are receiving. We are very glad to see that in some of our Concordias, these adjustments are being made. For instance, at Concordia University Chicago, Latin is being taught. It has been taught there. Other classes on studying the great books and so forth are being offered there, as well as at Concordia University Irvine, Concordia University Wisconsin, and I would say especially those three Concordias are responding in a good way to the classical education, the classical Lutheran education movement that's going on starting in the younger grades, and it's impacting colleges and universities. So I don't know if that answers your question or not, but I don't know what to do about the other students. I would say send them to a classical Lutheran school. That would be my answer.
Someone is going to say that today's kids, they live in a world so different from the world wherein the classical model was developed, that this is a throwback, it's an anachronism. Bless your heart for trying, but we have crossed a threshold with today's kids. And you may try and capture a few of them back with this model of education to make them real thinkers, but nobody's thinking anymore. We just emote. Bless you for trying with the kids, and good luck to you, but it's a fool's errand. How would you respond?
Well, the pursuit of classical Lutheran education is not a defeatist endeavor. When we look back even to our history of classical education among Lutherans, we go back to Luther. Luther proposed to the city councilman in Germany that a liberal arts education, along with catechesis, be the foundation of education in their schools. when individuals like the Johannes Bugenhagen went to Braunschweig and other places, what did he do? He brought along the scriptures, the hymnal. He brought along Luther's small catechism, and along with it, he took the seven liberal arts. And in that day, the Lutheran reformers went about establishing classical Lutheran schools in the land. Well, we know it didn't last forever. It lasted for a while, and then it comes back. You know, Luther had the argument in those days, which I think is a good argument today even. He said, look back at the kinds of citizens that were created through classical education. Look what kind of citizens that Rome had. Look how we had dutiful citizens. Now, I know that there were also some other interesting stories there as well. But touting their education, he said, you know, this is, and I'm summarizing here, but this is the kind of education that Germany needs. Well, I think that when we look back at history and we see what I would call a time-tested educational model, it's time-tested. If you like science, you like the scientific model, I think history proves it out, that it has been an excellent, excellent form of education. And it is good and useful for us today, very good and useful, especially for Christians, for Lutherans in particular. And so I would encourage us not to simply say, well, okay, we've seen it start and stop throughout history. But each time we've seen it start, we've seen a civilization that was greatly blessed by a classical education. And especially where the Lutheran confessions come along, the small catechism, the scriptures, and the hymnal come along, what a blessing it has been for the church in particular. You know, as Luther talks about in the Fourth Commandment, Large Catechism, that, you know, an education ought to raise up citizens, not only for society, but also we need good and godly churchmen. And so I would argue that this kind of education is an education that is good not only for America, not only good for Plano or Collinsville or wherever, but it's good for the church wherever the church is.
Do you think that Christian parents may suffer from a bit of naivete about what is happening in public schools today?
Yes, I think that some of them might. Don't know all parents, but it seems as though a common argument that I hear is, well, it worked for me, and look at me, I turned out okay. I mean, that is a common argument. Whether we want to get into discussion on whether or not they turned out okay is, I generally don't go there. I'll admit I had a typical education, although I think that my rural Lutheran school in Seymour, Indiana was, while it wasn't a full-blown classical school as we're calling it today, it was still had many of the rudiments of that kind of education. And at the same time, we studied the catechism and we studied the hymns of the church. In that sense, it was good for me. I think the first time that I had a classical education, of course, was when I went to seminary. There, I think anybody who's gone, I haven't been to the Concordia Seminary, St. Louis, but I've been to the Fort Wayne Seminary, and there I know for a fact that what I learned was really a classical education. And I think that when some of our families look at what they see going on in our public schools, one of the things that's always very difficult to do is to extract yourself out of the culture in which you live and then to look back objectively on it. And because everyone else is doing it, sort of the bandwagon effect, and since they're doing it, my friends are doing it, it must be okay. I would argue that at least classical education, there is a better way. So if this way is okay for you, there's something much better. And what I would encourage you to do is just start asking yourself some questions about what are you receiving at your school? What is it that your children are really learning? What are they coming home and talking about? What are they reading? What are they studying? What do they know and what don't they know? And to ask those probing questions. And I think that an honest look at the answers to those questions will find some things lacking and will lead parents to look in other directions.
What can you tell us as we wrap this up about Faith Lutheran School here in Plano, Classical Lutheran Educational Institution, and the Consortium for Classical Lutheran Education?
I think that Faith Lutheran School is doing a great job pursuing the classical Lutheran education. I like to use the word pursuing because you always wonder, are we there yet? You know, have we gotten there? Is there something else that can be done? And one of the great blessings of working on the staff here at Faith Lutheran is that my colleagues, the teachers in our classrooms are absolutely phenomenal. I know some of them are here in the audience today, and I mean that. They challenge me, okay? They challenge me to think about things, and it is great to be a part of a staff where, I mean, where else do you get to go where everybody that you work with is a Missouri Synod Lutheran? So it's great. But not only that, but people who are committed to the same paradigm, and it's exciting to partner with them. The work of the consortium is a work that gets bigger and bigger and bigger. I know some of our board members and previous board members are also here in the audience today. I think they will agree with me if we look back to the early days when the consortium started, which was, you know, going back to about 1999, 2000, 2001, we looked around us and we thought, we're the only ones who have any interest at all in classical education. And we even, at least I did, I thought to myself, this is never, ever, no one's ever going to catch on to this. We'll probably be meeting the group of 25, 30 of us, and that'll be it. That is not true. What we have seen is a growing interest, not only among Lutherans, but outside of Lutheranism, homeschooling movement, very much embracing classical education. Our colleges and universities, some of those colleges and universities who not so many years ago said, when they heard of classical education, they said, absolutely not. You're not going to bring that here. And yet we see these inroads. As I mentioned, already three of our Concordias that are thinking about classical education and how they can serve not only students, but also our Lutheran schools. We see schools that are pursuing accreditation through the consortium. There's a growing number of schools throughout the United States that are being accredited by the CCLE, and also teachers who are willing to pursue teacher certification through the consortium. We're a very frugal bunch. We have no paid employees. We're all volunteers with the consortium. And yet the work continues to grow. And we're thankful for many, many volunteers who are stepping up to help us out in the pursuit of classical Lutheran education here in the United States.
You can find out more about Faith Lutheran School and the Consortium for Classical Lutheran Education at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Pastor Stephen Keyser is headmaster of Faith Lutheran School in Plano, Texas, and board chairman for the Consortium for Classical Lutheran Education. Stephen, thank you very much for being our guest.
You're very welcome.
When we come back, we're going to welcome Pastor Chris Roseborough to the microphone here at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference at Faith Lutheran Church in Plano, Texas. We're going to be talking about the past, the present, and the future of American evangelicalism. How in less than one generation has evangelicalism gone from the likes of a Charles Stanley to his son, Andy Stanley? We'll get to that question right off with Chris.
Can you remain a Christian if you stay away from church on Sunday mornings? I've written a column in the latest Issues Etc. journal titled, Why Do You Go to Church? We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Dr. Mark Seifried writes about his journey from being a Baptist seminary professor to becoming a Lutheran seminary professor. It's the free online Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org.
The Lord is our shepherd, and we are the people of his pasture. Why then do we still suffer in this life? Disease, loneliness, persecution? I'm Katie Schuerman, and I'm collaborating with Cheryl Swope, Molly Hemingway, and a host of literary friends in He Restores My Soul, a book that takes an honest look at hardship and heartache in light of God's promises found in His Word. He Restores My Soul is now available at emmanuelpress.us, emmanuelpress.us.
Many Lutheran pastors outside of the U.S. receive little or no seminary education. Luther Academy provides theological triage through conferences, books, and journals. Help support Luther Academy by making a tax-deductible donation at lutheracademy.com or call 260-452-2211. Serving Lutheran pastors to the ends of the earth, Luther Academy, 260-452-2211 or lutheracademy.com.
What is the state of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod in 2018? Find out in the November issue of the Lutheran Witness. This special edition is filled with information on global mercy work, missions, membership statistics, schools, and more, offering readers a big picture look at the LCMS around the world. Subscribe today at cph.org/witness. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Peace Lutheran, Sussex, Wisconsin. Hope Lutheran, St. Louis, Missouri. Grace Lutheran, Elgin, Texas. Bethany Lutheran, Naperville, Illinois. Emmanuel Lutheran, Alexandria, Virginia. St. John Lutheran, Mayville, Wisconsin. Our Redeemer Lutheran, Fayetteville, North Carolina. Shepherd of the Hills Lutheran, Perrysburg, Ohio. Trinity Lutheran, Okmulgee, Oklahoma. Zion Lutheran, Gwinner, South Dakota. Trinity Lutheran, St. Charles, Missouri. And Christ Lutheran, Normal, Illinois. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your church on the radio, at the website, and in the Issues Etc. journal.